Good Gabs, sponsored by SkillSkin, a nonprofit organization empowering individuals with disabilities through employment. We have an awesome person with us today. This is Jillian Nunnemaker. This is the development manager for Spokane County Public Libraries. Jillian, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for inviting me. Happy to be here, Steve.
Jillian, what's happening?
Everything. I work for a library district, the Spokane County Library District, so everything's happening all the time.
I bet.
So, yeah. I know.
You're building stuff, you're remodeling stuff, you're...
Exactly.
You know, new programs are happening all the time.
All the time. Our programs are always evolving, which I love. And every three times a year, we have our magazine that comes out, Engage. So pick up your coffee today at any Spokane County Library District.
So what's in there?
A little bit of everything. There's something in here for everybody. So this just dropped on, let's see here, October 1st. So
nice.
This has all of our programs from October to January listed in there. And there are some gems. We have 11 library locations. And during the first part of the pandemic, to differentiate us from SPL, and today we're in a lovely Spokane Public Library building.
Yes,
downtown.
We are
this
right
is a
downtown.
Lovely space, and we partner with them frequently. But the county library services are separate from the municipal library services.
Yeah, so like my library out at Medical Lake, that is Spokane County Library.
Yes, exactly, yep. Exactly. So during the first part of the pandemic when everybody was doing Zoom, I would bring a donut to Zoom presentations or any Zoom networking events. I would go out and buy a glazed donut with sprinkles on it or just a plain glazed, and I would get 11 chocolate chips and strategically place them around the donut and say, I work for the Spokane County Library District. We have 11 library locations that are like a donut. And then the city of Spokane is right
in the
middle, is in the center. So just so people would be able to differentiate between the two.
It's genius.
We can
all understand
that. I'm a visual
that.
Person, yes.
Everybody understands
yes,
that.
Yes, exactly. Did you read the directions, Jill? No, I didn't, but I picture red my way through. So for those visual learners out there, we have three libraries out in the West Plains area. Two up north Spokane and Deer Park, three out in like the valley area on Argonne, and a brand new library in Spokane Valley across from the City Hall. And
location, so down
Otis
on Sprague
Orchard.
Out there?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Then yeah. Moran Prairie and Fairfield, and three out in the West Plains. So, yeah. So we got our bases covered. So
definitely.
Yeah.
What do libraries look like these days? Because, you know, mm-hmm. I'm just watching them evolve since when I was a kid, you know, in, I could get a tape and then CDs. That was sweet when that happened. And you know, traditional books but now it's like a library of things.
Oh my gosh. I love talking about our library of things. So you can still check out books. We still have books shelves made of paper. Which is,
do you read books of paper?
I
or
do.
Are you electronic?
I am not electronic. Okay. In fact, I was chatting with my daughter's teacher yesterday, and they just did like a persuasive writing component in her English class, and she wrote hers on why she prefers paper books over like e-readers. But we
love
if
her.
You're, I know. I'm like, I had no idea she did that for her persuasive essay. But if you're an e-reader, you can download e-books. Onto your Kindle or whatever device that you have.
That's incredible.
So we offer
I
that.
Like real books too, by
me
the
too.
Way.
Yeah.
I just can't help
yeah.
it.
And you could check out DVDs, CDs, tons of digital resources. But in addition to that, we have some fabulous programs too. So, and there's something for everybody. And if you can't physically pop into our libraries for a program, a lot of them are online. So we found that is...
So this is so accessible.
It's incredibly accessible. So if you're an entrepreneur, we have small business workshops through SCORE. We partner with SCORE, and once a month we do... It's kind of like a lunch and learn almost. It's free. You register. It's at noon once a month, and there's different topics on how to write a business plan, how to negotiate contracts, just something for everybody in the small business and entrepreneurial world.
I hope our producer Tony's listening right now, because he's always trying to try new businesses and he's going places.
Oh, yeah.
He's got to show up.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. So our SCORE business workshops are hugely popular, and we love partnering with SCORE through that. But we also have digital resources for entrepreneurs and small business owners here. We have the Gale business plan builder. So that's kind of a scary part of starting your own business. It's like, I have this great idea. I know how to implement it, but how do I write a 50, 60 page business plan?
Scares me. So, and I've done it.
Exactly. So this really prompts you through. You just kind of follow the prompts. And if you're like, this module doesn't fit my needs, then you can just skip over it. And there's like a nonprofit business plan and a for-profit. So it's really great. So we have those types of online programs. And then we also have like master gardening programs and all sorts of things.
That's
online.
One of my favorite parts about our library is the seed library.
Seed library. Yes. Yeah.
Hot dang. I have been able to grow some amazing heirloom tomatoes that were in there.
Oh, that's great to hear.
I found some weird squashes I'd never heard about. I was like, all right, let's try this out. And whoever is, it's like take some, give some, right?
Yes.
And I love that. It's community right there, right in front of me.
It is, because somebody might have a bounty of, like for me at home, I always every year have tons of like Queen Anne's lace and hollyhock seeds, but somebody else might have tons of like black-eyed Susan seeds or tomato seeds. So it's great being able to bring those resources in. And if you pick up our latest copy of Engage, there's a one-page article on the seed library asking everybody to bring their seeds back, because it's that time of year, and then we'll prep them, and then come spring, those will be made available again to our communities. And it's great too, because with the seeds, they've kind of microclimatized to the area as well. So
that makes sense.
Yeah.
And so each generation that comes up, they're just made for here.
Yeah. And growing our own.
I'm into it.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Yeah. So the seed libraries, that's one of my favorite programs, because I'm a gardener too. So, and you had asked about our library of things.
Yeah.
Out of everything that we offer, that I think is the most progressive and unique, because occasionally I'll get people come up to me and be, you guys just have books. It's like, no, we don't. We do not just have books. There is a world of wonder out there to explore. So we literally have something for everybody. And I think the library of things is the biggest testament to that. So you can check
out. What's the weirdest thing that's in there?
Oh my gosh.
Or unique, maybe. Unique.
We have telescopes.
What?
Yes, we have telescopes. Okay. And I know by the time this airs, this will be not relevant until the next eclipse, but we have sinoculars as well. So we have the solar eclipse coming up, and we have sinoculars so you can view the eclipse. We have sewing machines.
Whoa.
Yes. Yes, pickleball sets.
That's hot right now.
I know, isn't it? Yeah, so we've been able to add pickleball sets, sinoculars to the catalog, as well as like inflatable movie screen projectors for the summer months, and you can rent a movie projector.
My mind's blown right now.
I know, it's amazing what we offer. So we have a nonprofit associated with the county library district called the Library Foundation of Spokane County. And this past April, that's our big fundraising campaign, or big fundraising push. And every year we find a program that's most in need of funding. And last year it was the Library of Things. So we really wanted to boost our offerings, because that's such a fun collection. And so the Library Foundation fundraised to add more of these items to the Library of Things, and ukuleles and all sorts of fun things.
Okay,
and
so how do I? You want to learn how to cook an Instant Pot? Here we go. Well, how does someone access that? Like, do they go on, the library's website? Do they go inside of a library? How do they do it?
It's online at scld.org. And it's right there on the front page. So we have an advertisement for the Library of Things, and you can click on that link on our front page, and it'll take you right to there, and you can kind of peruse the offerings of what's available through the library of things currently. So we're always adding fun stuff. Yeah, there's like Legos in there. And
did y'all do a podcast studio like the Spokane, libraries? Okay.
Yes, we did.
I know when our executive producer, Dana Devine, said, hey, this is available. It's brand new. We're the first people in here, by the way. We're the very first ones to walk through the door and say, yep, we're here.
Awesome.
Yeah, so a year later, here we go.
I love our new podcast studio. It's the STCU Podcast Studio, which is located at the new Spokane Valley Library, which opened back in June.
Nice.
It's across the street from City Hall in the Valley, and it is such a great space. We're so fortunate to have STCU sponsoring it because they are such a great partnership. Their values and mission, I think, dovetails nicely with ours because they value education and the arts and culture. So it's been a wonderful partnership working with them. And we even have programs that are specific to the STCU studio.
Okay, so like kids can come learn.
They can come learn
what
how
to
do what we're doing here.
Right.
Exactly.
On.
Yeah. So they can do their own podcast. You can record your own album.
Today, we're going to talk about suicide prevention. We're going to talk about some lived experience. And it is just my great pleasure to introduce our guest today. This is Phil Tyler, Associate Director of Campus Security and Public Safety at Gonzaga University. Phil, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, man. This has been quite the week. I just got back from D.C., and so that was interesting. We brought some advocates in the disability community, some of our employees, over there, and our CEO and them got to talk to all of the folks on Capitol Hill, so like the representatives and senators and
outstanding.
Yeah, so it was a wild time, and then so I got the real fun part. We had they call it the NCSE in our world, and it's the National Council of Disability Employees. Can't actually remember the acronym right now, but we talk about disability issues, and
for sure.
We meet about four times a year, and how we're going to move the needle forward in the program. But
I'd be interested in hearing more about that. Our students on the university just formed their first ever student disabilities club. On
really?
Gonzaga. Yeah, and we specifically made it a point to attend their first meeting because there were things that we didn't know as able-bodied persons that we were missing, particularly as it related to the realm of emergency planning and emergency management. We were always thinking about people could flee from spaces or run or hide, but those that couldn't, we really hadn't deeply thought about that in our emergency planning. And secondly, the ignorance of able-bodied persons, ignorance is not a pejorative, but you just don't know what you don't know.
No doubt.
The majority of our disabled students didn't have a physical disability that we could see.
Right.
And so some of those things, even our uniforms and our presence, caused them to have an adverse reaction. And so we needed to know that disabilities just didn't mean what we could see with our eyes.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it was really powerful.
So this just formed?
Yes, just last year.
Oh, yeah, we got to get connected, Skillskin, to that, because, we can absolutely be an ally in that world and just learn more. But I had a lot of fun, and it was good time, and, we got back about, I got to bed around 1:30 this morning, and it was like, here we go. It was 20 hours awake, and I'm like, everything was so worth it. Just had an awesome time. And now I'm super excited to be here and to, meet you in person. Like, I've seen you around. Like, you're involved in lots of different things in Spokane, but I never got to meet you, so I'm just so happy you're here today.
Yeah, great to meet you, and we met early in the parking lot, so
thank
you for the app instructions as well.
For sure, that's what we do, first-class service around here.
Yes, sir.
Yep, well, so tell us a little bit about yourself, Phil. Yeah, we want to know more.
Wow, so Phil Tyler, let's see, I come from a military background. Our family collectively have over 180 years of military service.
Oh, wow.
Going back in our history. I was the
All
Air
the branches?
Force. Yeah, Air Force, yeah. Army, Navy. I don't think we have any Coast Guard personnel in our family. No offense to my Coast Guard brothers and sisters. Mm. But we have reserve. We have active duty. My brother-in-law and my sister just retired from the Army as majors. They were in the emergency medical field. My youngest nephew is a first lieutenant in the Army now. Myself, I was in the Air Force. I spent 8 years in the United States Air Force as a law enforcement specialist.
Were you ever on any of our bases?
I was
at Malmstrom.
I was at...
We're in Cheyenne at F.E. Warren.
Okay.
And here at Fairchild.
Yeah, I was stationed at Fairchild, my last duty station.
Nice.
Absolutely. And as a dependent, a military brat, if you will, I was stationed at Malmstrom. I don't know I'd want to go back there. Oh. It was pretty cold and windy, as I recall, as a young person.
It's still cold. It's still windy.
Yeah. Yeah, so I spent 8 years in the United States Air Force, as I said, as a law enforcement specialist. I did various tasks within there. And a law enforcement specialist just means a military police officer on a military installation. And so I did accident investigation, criminal investigations, interview interrogation, crime prevention. That's where I first learned my skill set in crime prevention. I was a member of what they call the emergency services team, which is the equivalent of a civilian SWAT team.
Okay.
When I was in their service as well. So did tours of duty over in the Republic of South Korea. I was over at Vandenberg Air Force Base guarding the space shuttle back in the 80s when they had a
So you seen a space shuttle up close and personal?
I've touched it, even though you weren't supposed to.
Good for you. I love that.
But I'm more than 10 years past that time, so I can say
You're
this.
Good.
Yes. And then stationed at Fairchild here, Fairchild Air Force Base.
Nice. So that's how you got to Spokane?
Yeah, that's how I got to Spokane. Yeah. And from there, I joined the Spokane County Sheriff's Office. I was a corrections officer at the time when they were combined. They are no longer combined. They're separated now, separate entities. But I went from an officer to a sergeant to a lieutenant within that. Spent 16 years there. And then from there, I went to Gonzaga, where I'm currently at the Campus Security and Public Safety.
That's awesome. Well, yeah, so you're Spokane's home now.
It is.
You ain't going anywhere.
Indeed.
No, I love it. Yeah. That's good. Well, I noticed on your shirt you're wearing, you know, the suicide prevention pin. You know, what's that mean to you?
Yeah, and it's important that you ask that, because I wear it because I want to attract attention and conversations. As tough as it is, because I wear it because I'm a loss survivor. And what that means to the audience that aren't familiar with the term is that I lost someone close to me to suicide, my son. His name was Devin.
Man.
And we lost him November of 2017. And so this month, this week, is always tough for me because I have these kind of conversations. And it's emotional. But it's important to have these conversations. We lost recently a deputy in our local area, and we still don't talk about it.
Right.
And when we put
I know in this, my family, we sure don't have those conversations.
Yeah.
That's like, you stuff that stuff deep.
Yeah. And I grew up in that environment, in the faith that I grew up in. We didn't talk about those things, right? If we talked about them, it was essentially a sin. And it really pushes those folks that really need the most help back. Into the shadows. And so I wear the pin as a talking point. In fact, my director at Gonzaga Campus Security and Public Safety, her name is Becky Wilkie, a wonderful human being. We've been wearing this our entire time. And we really bring out more of these. As a matter of fact, I brought some for the studio.
All right.
For your team as well. To wear and have conversation pieces. But we wear them around our campus and wherever we travel to have conversations like this. And the last conversation we had was in the airport at Atlanta with an individual who was sitting beside us where we were having lunch. And he came over and he talked about it and shared a story about losing someone to suicide and how he struggled with it himself as a person with lived experience. And it was emotional.
Wow.
I mean, we were almost in tears and gave big hugs. But it's those kind of things that create awareness. So that we need to have
an invitation to have that conversation.
Yes.
Well, for our listeners, you know, maybe you help us understand why that's so healing. Because I don't know, I have a feeling that a lot of us just kind of avoid that.
Yeah. Yeah. That is a big thing. Here's what I'd say to that. It's a public states. In 2021, the last data that we have, 48,000 individuals lost their lives to suicide. That's those.
That's a big number.
Right, but the number is exponentially larger than those that have attempted or who had suicidal ideation. Statistically, by the time we finished our time together here, some 40 minutes or 50 minutes, five people would have lost their lives in America to suicide. It's about one every 11 minutes. And when you say those numbers and when you hear those numbers, it's very devastating. In the career field I have chosen, law enforcement and or our firefighters, we're more apt to die by suicide than in line of duty. from a criminal or from a fire. And that's staggering.
We had someone here on the show that was a first responder in the EMT world, and she was saying the same thing. Like, it was the big dark secret that's starting to, you know, get talked about a lot more.
Yeah.
But that all that trauma that people are going through, it's like they just end it, and that's so sad.
It is sad, and as a society,
especially people who are caring about us, right? Like, they're the ones helping.
Yeah. But people have to know that we care about them, and I think that's the biggest thing with suicide is that often it's loneliness that really drives. I mean, there's many things that would move a person toward taking his or her own life, but we do know that loneliness, and loneliness is not being out in a space by yourself. Yeah. You could be in a podcast studio with four people but still feel lonely if you haven't been acknowledged, recognized, spoken to, cared about. And so that's what occurs when people don't talk about these things, or if an incident happens and they know it's connected to suicide, they don't talk about it because it's taboo, if you will. So it's really important to do those things. And I think that we, by wearing this lapel pin, really invite those conversations to let people know that you do matter. And it's important to have those conversations. And even if it's tough for me to have these conversations, I get emotional now talking about it, but I'm not embarrassed anymore like I used to be. I used to have this mindset, this nonsensical wear the mask, if you will. Right. When I projected myself outwardly, it was a smile. It was this affable character, relatable Phil Tyler. But inside I was struggling. Right. Inside I had this. Yeah. Right. And we do that with suicide and emotion. And to a point where particularly first responders, whether you be a firefighter, a police officer, EMT, corrections, whatever that might be, medical staff, etc., we have to project this image of strength. Right. Lest we be considered weak.
And you can't look like that.
Well, you can, because what we are trying to do with awareness is re-signify what it means to be weak.
Well, that's culture changing is what you're describing.
It's a paradigm shift. So weak is no longer an adjective in our world describing someone. Weak is now a acronym, W-E-A-K, willing to express adult kindness. And when you are willing to express, yes, thank you. When you are willing to express adult kindness, when you are willing to show emotion, right? Give an active ear to listen to someone, right? Even when you hear these myths like, oh, suicide is just an attention-seeking behavior. I would say this from that willing to express adult kindness. Maybe the attention you give that individual can save his or her life.
That resonates a lot. Today, we have Molly Allen here, Executive Director and co-founder of SafetyNet. Molly, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So what's happening at SafetyNet these days?
Are we going? Are we? Then we're not going to have that go.
You can totally cut that.
Yeah. I don't want to be the one that says that, although I say stuff like that all the time. So what's going on with SafetyNet, you ask?
Yes.
SafetyNet just had a huge fundraiser.
I saw that at the Aviation Center, what do they call that?
Yes, the Historic Flight Museum.
Nice.
And my partner, Colleen Quisenberry, was the chair this year. She had a fantastic group of people, and they raised, we all raised $125,000.
That is big
it's
money
huge
for
us.
One night. That's
huge,
awesome.
The biggest we've ever had.
Congratulations.
So, thank you. It was great. It's great. And with that comes more exposure.
Totally.
And so with that, we're busier and kind of just helping out more former foster youth here and in North Idaho.
Yeah. So for those that don't know about SafetyNet, you know, what's the program? What are y'all up to?
So this is our 15th year.
15.
And we have
some longevity.
It is. And we've grown a little bit each year. And now, of course, we're bigger than ever, which is great. And we moved into North Idaho 2 years ago. We have an advisory committee there. We help the young people who are aging out of foster care. That's really the gist of it. And we do all the stuff that the government can't do.
Yeah, because it just stops, right?
It stops, yes. Yeah. It's a little different than it used to be. And so it used to be 18, you're out. And now you can sign yourself back in. A lot of the kids don't want to because they're tired of it.
Right.
And
I can see that.
It means, you know, following rules and everything. And they've been dealing with foster parents their whole lives usually, especially if they're at the age where they have they're aging out. They haven't gotten their forever home.
Right.
And so they're really tired of the system by then. And they just want to give it a try on their own. And it's hard. So
yeah, they want to bounce.
And it's hard for anybody. I mean, you know, if you, I don't know if you have kids, but my son is 29. And so
our daughter is 17. She's about to find out what's going on.
Yeah. You're just the tip of the, you think ballet classes and all that were expensive. Wait till they need to move out.
No doubt.
It's a thing. It's a situation. So my son, I adopted him when he was 10 and he was in foster care on the west side. And so that's why I have the interest in foster care. And so when he was 14, somebody talked to me about the aging out process. And I did not know what happened to kids who aged out. I had no idea. And they were saying, oh, well, that's great for him because if he were 18. So I was looking at this very immature 14-year-old thinking, four years, there's no way he'd be ready. And so somebody had approached me, Aline Alexander, actually, who's the executive director.
Embrace Washington. Yes, of course. Yeah.
She had approached me to help her with a PSA for foster care to college. It was a thing that they had. So I did a PSA, a TV PSA for them. And then they lost their funding and they went away. But meantime, Colleen Quisenberry saw me on television late one night when she couldn't sleep. And she said to her assistant, I want to meet her because I have the same vision. Like, I want to do something with her. So that's how we created Safety Net with Aline's help.
She just called you up. It's like, here we go.
Yeah. Hi, Colleen would like to have lunch with you, please. I'm like, okay, I'll have lunch with Colleen. So, and then that was 15 years ago. So that was probably maybe February. And I think by that summer, we were having our first fundraiser. I mean, we hit the ground running. We were under the Volunteers of America umbrella for a while because we didn't have our own 501c3. And then we just grew and grew.
That's
an
incredible partnership. So you just leveraged who we knew.
Yep.
And made this thing happen.
Well, and at the time she was in advertising and I was on the radio. So we got to do things that most people who are trying to start up wouldn't. So she had access to, I mean, just her talents alone lent itself to getting the word out and all of that. And then I was able to do that as well. And Global Credit Union and KXLY Broadcast Group signed on right away for the first fundraiser. And they've been with us ever since. And they've given us money. They were our major sponsors. So because of the two of them really is how we got started.
Yeah.
So
that's incredible. Yeah. Well, and the need is just so much.
Yeah.
That's what I learned about, you know, the world of aging out from we were talking about Kevin Parker earlier. He's the one who told me and just kind of taught me about Embrace Washington and SkillSkin. We did some videos for them too a few years ago to what was their big fundraiser? It was like the Blue Jean Ball.
What do you call it? The bootlegger ball? No, the
plaid. Oh,
plaid. It's like the plaid. Something.
But anyway, well, that's what I learned. So how do you all work together, right? Because they're dealing with the kids that are in the system, right?
Yes.
And Safety Net is when someone's leaving.
Correct.
Okay.
And Kevin Parker started and he and Aline started Embrace because of Safety Net. So he was at one of our fundraisers years ago. We were just having this conversation this morning, in fact. And he was there and a girl named Josephine spoke and he was so moved by that. He and Carrie took her in and she lived with them, went to Whitworth, finished, did all that, is doing fantastically well now. She's a great gal, and worked at Dutch Bros, did the whole thing. But he didn't know about it either until he came to our fundraiser. And he came kind of like, another fundraiser. I don't want to do this and that. And it was because of that moment. So then he was very involved. They did some fostering themselves. And then they started Embrace Washington along with Aline Alexander. So that's how
the story really starts to grow from here. Yes. So it started at Safety Net.
It started at Safety Net. Yes. And then Aline, I mean, really, she's the queen to me of foster. You know, she knows everything. She's done everything. She's great. None of this, all of what we do doesn't happen without somebody like Aline. She really deserves a lot of credit. And now
that partnership?
Yes, but now she's like a hero financially too because she's able to. So she really does a lot. And in fact, she's helping us. We have kind of an emergency within our group. Our program director's out for a little while. And so Aline is even stepping in and helping me take care of all the stuff that normally gets done by Jenny Hurd. And so we all work together. And then Teen and Kid Closet too. Robin Nance is a good friend. And
we're going to get to meet Robin soon. She's going to be on the show.
Good. She's great. And she will look camera ready more than I do. She'll be ready for this action, lighting or not.
Heard it here.
Yeah. No, she's great. She's great. So, yeah, it's nice. Spokane is so great. And I can't believe how many really good nonprofits are here and how many get supported. I mean, really,
it's
fundraiser
true.
After fundraiser, everybody's there showing up, and we're so lucky.
Well, help our listeners understand, like, what a person who's aging out, they call you. Like, what do these needs look like?
Oh, so, okay, here's a good example. So this morning I paid a bill. A gal had a car, and she had the warranty, but she needed the $500 deductible to get her car back so she could get to work, get her child to daycare, and get to school. She's doing all these things. So she called us. She filled out an application type thing, had her social worker. Usually you have some kind of caseworker, somebody who's working with you.
Okay.
I just got a verbal vouch from her, but then I had her go and fill everything out. And this morning I called Subaru dealer with our credit card and paid the $500.
So. Something as simple as that.
Yeah.
It has huge impact.
Huge impact. Huge. Yeah. I mean, sometimes as much as a bus pass can literally be the link between them being homeless, because
right. Just, you're going to lose your job if you don't show up.
That's right. That's right.
Snowballs.
Yep. And the other day, this girl, so she gets from food stamps, but they decided to check on her income on the month where she got three checks. You know how...
We do know about that. We're in the disability space.
Yes.
And those 2 months out of the year crush people who have any sort of benefits coming their way.
It's terrible. How could they even? I don't know how that gets mixed up. So she was short food and stuff. So I brought her a gift card, you know, a gift certificate to one of the grocery stores. And it's that kind of stuff, you know. I mean, it really is. Sometimes we've fixed teeth. We will, you know, we'll get a dentist and be like, hey, why don't you work with us and get this guy a front tooth. And we've paid for an urn before for a family, you know.
But it had so much impact.
Yes. If somebody dies, you're as the next of kin, you're responsible for them and their burial and everything, even though they left you and abandoned you. It's true. It's crazy. So you have to go pay for a funeral of a person who abandoned you in this lifetime.
Yeah, that's not quite right.
So yeah, we fixed that.
Good job.
Yeah. So that's the kind of stuff we do. We pay for books. We pay for tuition sometimes. And then we furnish apartments. That's the big thing. Everybody gets a brand new bed. We have a storage unit in Post Falls and here in Spokane. And so everybody who gets an apartment, they can come through. In fact, Aline Alexander had a young lady there today. She did that because I was at work. And they got all the stuff they needed. And if we don't have it, we'll buy it. But usually we have it.
That's incredible. How do you get the furniture?
We ask for donations. And right now, our storage unit is pretty full. So we actually had to turn people away. So we feel lucky about that.
So there's a lot of people who are just connected to this organization.
After 15 years,
Totally. That's some longevity. So mm-hmm. like our listeners, I know some of you are feeling very much connected to this right now. How do they get connected?
You can go to safetynetinlandnorthwest.org. You can donate there. You can connect with us. You can see what it is that we do. If you want to volunteer, we have all kinds of things.
What does volunteering look like?
Well, sometimes it looks like picking up furniture. If you have a truck, we'd love to see you. And also a lot of us are ladies, so we only have a few guys. So sometimes it's nice. I know I've helped move people into third floor apartments before.
That sucks.
Yeah, it's not good. We need that or sometimes just doing drives and collecting household stuff, because we also have toilet paper, paper towels, cleaning supplies, shampoo, everything that you need. If you think of everything you need for an apartment to start it, we have all that.
I love that base thing, right? You're aging out. All of a sudden you have all these responsibilities.
Yeah.
But if you can, you know, engage with your organization, mm-hmm. at least that part's taken care of.
Yes.
Like you have a bed to sleep in.
Yes.
You can sit down in your living room and you're not eating on the floor.
Exactly.
That's cool.
A brand new bed that you get to keep, because that never happens. They don't, and also everything we give them, they get to keep. And they're not used to that, because when you move from foster home to foster home, like my son, he was 10. He had one suitcase full of Legos and one suitcase full of clothes-ish. That was it. He was 10 years old. That's all he had with him. And so these kids, the other part is, let's say they have an apartment full of stuff, then they get evicted. They have nowhere to put it while they go find, so then they lose it all.
Right.
You know, so we also will help provide a place for them to keep their stuff if they're in between. We've done that before too, so we don't lose it all.